Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Sister Yaina, Yah Israel, with another edition of the Yehuda Project. And as usual, we're going to play a song to give all of our listening audience a chance to call in and our guests to call in. And I hope you enjoy this song. And here we go.
Shalom, shalom, I am. Now, Yaina, you know what? How come you didn't let that play a little bit longer?
All I do is think about you.
It's been filled with a lot of things, you know, but we're glad that that we're able to be here today. I don't see Brother Donia yet, so we wait on him to call in, and when he does, he knows to push one. We'll get him on the line, but we got quite a few callers already that are calling in, and they're slowly coming in while we talk. So some of the things, what's some of the things that's going on with you, some current events that are happening this week?
Well, you know, Sister Yaina, I had an opportunity to look at something. Well, I didn't really listen to it. I kind of just scanned through the TV, and I saw where President Obama was giving a speech pertaining to, I guess, the NSA leak concerning how most of these major phone companies, like cell phone companies like Verizon, AT&T, and Sprint, have turned over their record logs of all of their customers to the NSA, and they have actually been going in and spying on people and listening to their phone logs and phone calls, and not only just the phone calls, but also you have some of these email accounts, Google, Yahoo. Of course, we already know Facebook was in on a lot of mess. Who's behind them? And among other people that are spying in on the people, you know, privacy is no longer privacy anymore. You have no privacy, and it's been long gone, a long time ago. People just now realizing that they don't have any privacy, that we don't have any privacy. So if you are one that have something to hide, trust me, it's not hidden.
Hey, I see Brother Donia out here. Let me get him on so he can say hello to everybody. Brother Donia, are you there?
Shalom, shalom.
Hello, yes, hello Donia. How are you?
Shalom.
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 Shalom. Yeah, this is Donia from Atlanta, Georgia.
All right. They're calling in. We got them from all over the country right now. They're still calling in. We have our regulars that are faithful that have called in. And we, you know, we just want to say shalom to everyone. Those who are new on the show that have, this may be your first time listening. You know, we have an open forum, and sometime during the week, we discuss topics that we may want to bring up, but very, very, very often our topics are not planned. We just allow the conversation to be able to talk. It's an open forum for Hebrew Israelites, for Christians, for Muslims, for people to call in and just voice their opinion on what they think about the topic that we're talking about. You may even have a topic you want to talk about. If you have something you want to talk about, all we ask you to do is push number one. That puts you in queue. And they give you a chance to voice your opinion. And then everyone else that is on the line, give or take, may want to have something to say about what we're talking about. We also want to give a disclaimer that everything that people talk about on the show does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the co-host of the show. Everyone's entitled to their opinion or whatever they're talking about. And that's why it's an open forum, because we give everyone an opportunity to talk, and we find that talking helps. It gets it out, and it gets everyone an opportunity to have a voice. Kavai, you have something you want to say something about? Are you supposed to mention someone on the show?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was going to just give a shout-out to one of my coworkers. He said, well, they don't know me at work as Kavai, but, you know, he called me by my name. He said, I want to listen to your show, and I'm like, I don't think so. You know, I think I want to keep that separate, you know. Why I can't go on and listen to the show? I'm like, well, I want to keep that separate. So I just want to give a shout-out to my coworker. He know who he is. He listened in, and I want to just say thank you, my brother. You know, he looks out for me at work, and I really appreciate a young man. I tell him, I said, you know what? I said, you remind me of my son. He's a young man. He reminds me of my son. So I want to say shout-out to you, Bashiri.
All right. So let's get into talking, and I don't know. We have open forum today. We're waiting on one of our guests to come on. He's supposed to be a guest on the show, and he's going to talk about something really serious that's going on right now. But until we actually hear from him, and if he's on the line, we ask you to push one. We're just going to kind of talk today. We just kind of open up the forum and talk. I wanted to talk about sovereignty. because Kavon and I have been doing a lot of research on sovereignty and nation building, and we have promoted sovereignty and nation building since we started our show. And we, as we began to dig deep into sovereignty, we come to realize that sovereignty is not anything new. Sovereignty has been going on for quite a while, even with black people for quite a while. You know, when I researched today, I saw, you know, the Black Liberation Army and the Black Panther arm, the Black Panther movement, the African Liberation Movement, the New Black Panther Party, and then they have something even called Black Nationalism. I mean, so, you know, all of these things are not anything new. These are things that have been going on for a while. And I kind of wanted to touch on some issues that, you know, we have come to find out. And it's good, you know, it's good to research. I'm always, you know, Scripture says, with all thy getting, get an understanding. So I wanted to kind of touch on the whole sovereignty movement in terms of a lot of people say, well, why would you go about doing it? What is the benefit of it? The benefit, the pros and the cons. The benefit is that you become your own person, and you are no longer a 14th Amendment slave. Now, when you realize what happened to us as a people, because you have to understand what happened to us as a people to understand why this movement is so important to some. We were brought here by force, and we were put into slavery, which I'm sure everyone knows. Hopefully they know. If they don't know, we will be the ones to help to bring some understanding to this. And through the forced assimilation, we were forced into a culture. We were forced into a religion, and we were actually forced into a minority group. And through being forced into that minority group, we developed a community. So in dealing with our community for years and years and years, we've had political leaders, we've had religious leaders, we've had educational leaders try to sit down and come up with some issues to change those communities to the point where we can be treated as equal. Now, my issue with equal is, personally, I don't believe we'll ever be treated as equal as long as we're on America's soil. That is my personal opinion. But as I began to research the whole sovereignty movement and understanding what's going on, it is a good thing to become self-sufficient. It is a good thing to have the ability to establish self-determination. The issue comes in at, though, is once you do this, the powers that be make it very difficult for you. And I just wanted to kind of open that up to the floor. Kabal, what do you think about, I mean, because you and I have both been doing a lot of research on this, and we have gone through and discovered a lot of things. And I want to say that a lot of people were saying before that being sovereign, they have no jurisdiction over you. Well, we did research and found out that there's quite a few foreign nationals that are on death row. So we're trying to, and this is not to bring anything negative against anybody, but we're trying to work out all of the pros and the cons in this whole scheme of things so that everybody has a clear understanding as to what this actually means. Kavai, you have anything you want to say?
Yes, I think that is so good what you were saying, because it's important that we give people all of the information. And if you don't have all of the information, you can't make a decision based on a little bit of information. So in order to make the best decision, you have to have all of the information so you'll know that, okay, when I step into this, I'm not going to step into this blindly. I'm going to step into this with all the information, and I know what I'm up against. And with you having that understanding, then you can move forward without any hesitation. So I think it's good that we let the people know the information, what is, you know, the pros and the cons, because whenever you have been locked in prison or whenever you have been put in a system that is for the benefit of the oppressor, they're never going to tell you how to work their system to get yourself free from it. So, you know, it's best that we have to research for ourselves. We have to have all of the information. and then we make a decision based on the information that we have gathered. But know and trust this, even though you have a right, and even though you understand how to pull yourself out of that system, know that they're going to still turn around and use the same system against you. And they don't play fair. Hashatan does not play fair, whether he's being used as the oppressors or the ones that are oppressing. The slave master is not going to play fair with the slave. The warden of the prison is not going to play fair with the prisoners. It's to his advantage to keep you in prison. It's to the slave master's advantage to keep you enslaved. So, no, they're not going to play fair. But the key is understanding and getting that knowledge to maneuver and to work their system, because they wrote the system. So if you learn how to use their system and maneuver in their system, it could be very, very beneficial to us and for us. And, yes, we do need to come out of this system because it's crumbling. Not only that, we have to make a stand. And make a stand to show who our source is and who our Elohim is and who we trust in.
Okay,
that's all I got to
say. Brother Donia, you have anything you want to say?
Yes, I do. I wanted to say that this is a very good topic, and I'm enthused with the progress that's being made in that area. First, I want to say that that's a fact that we came here as slaves. What's also a fact is that this was ordained years and years ago by the Almighty that we were going to be enslaved, and we was going to be here for 400 years. And so those are facts. You understand? So the point that I'm trying to make with that is that all the things that we think that the Almighty has been involved in, He has they all seem to have been working. Those things have came to pass. Now here we are in this day and time. You understand? I think that the Almighty is about to bring his judgments on the nations that kept us captive. So, what I'm looking at here now is the fact that this thing about sovereignty might be the thing that we need to come together as a nation. You understand? And start dealing, you know, start working towards supporting our own things. You understand? Mm-hmm. No longer depend on these fake people right here. They don't care. They never cared anything about us. We was brought here as slaves to work in their system, to work, you understand, to build this society. We are no longer needed anymore. The society is built up now. Now they got other people coming in to take our places. We're in three areas of being annihilated. We've been they want us to marry into their nation. They got us being locked up and killing one another. Then they got us turning into homosexuals and bisexuals and all of those things. So they never was for us. This is for their. They're trying to annihilate us, but we can come out of this by the hand of the Almighty. You understand? You know, our only job, and I say this all the time, is that our only job is that we unite as a nation. Now, from what I understand about the sovereignty, we can use these same systems against them. And I'm not being revolutionary. This is an evolution thing with me. So we can use these things, and with the Almighty blessing us, you understand, our job would be to try to put this together so that we can benefit from this here. They can't do nothing against the Almighty, period. And he's always been with us. All we have to do is come together as a nation and show the Almighty that we're ready to come back to him. And I relinquish the mic.
All All right, all right. Anybody want to make a comment, you're welcome to push one. We're still waiting on our guest to come on the line. He's having some technical difficulties with his phone, and as soon as he gets that straightened out, we'll be hearing from him. I think it's important. I mean, you know, when you understand, I mean, because like I was talking to somebody today, it really is when you really, really understand what has happened. Because as long as you're in the dark, and this is a term that I use for everyone that's listening, and as long as you ride in the beast, and as long as you feel like, you know, life is wonderful, and all I have to do is get my little piece of the pie, and I work and save my money and buy what I want, and I grow old and I die, you know, that's life for me. But when you really, really understand what's going on and really, really understand what happened, I mean, because when you talk about ethnic assimilation, you know, forced assimilation and religious assimilation, you know, when you understand that we as a people were forced to be here, and you understand all the revolutions of the Malcolm X and the Marcus Garveys and the Martin Luther Kings and all of the civil rights movements that came along that helped us. I mean, you know, we I've heard people say, well, you know, it ain't never been good for us. It ain't never been. Yeah, it has. It's changed a lot better than it was. That helped to make slavery easier, but we still in slavery. Now, I'll say this. Not only are we in slavery, but the other nations are in slavery, too, when you talk about the rich and the poor. We're not talking about that. We're specifically gearing our conversation toward the children of Israel, the real children of Israel, the African-American people that came over on the transatlantic slave, through the transatlantic slave trade, and were brought here and lost our identity. And we were talking about that. Kaba and I were talking about that we are, the whole nation is an adulterous generation. The whole nation is an adulterous nation. And let me explain to you what I mean when I say that. When we were coming up, there was an issue about being a bastard. You were considered to be a bastard if your mother and father weren't married and your children were born out of wedlock, you were a bastard. You were considered a bastard child. You really didn't have the necessary foundations or whatever for family, whatever they say family was. But when you think about how twisted that is, and you think about how the curse is perfect and how everything was set up to a point where our whole nation, I told Kaba, I said, for real, you could really be one of my family members because when that husband and that wife touched the soil, they were not allowed to be kept together. So then you had my mother going in the direction of Virginia and my father going in the direction of California, traded off, and they were bred. He studied with someone, and she gave birth to another man's children. By law, that is adultery within our community. By the law of Yah, that's adultery.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So the whole nation has really been birthed from an adulterous situation, and everything is scattered. So, I mean, you know, when you really understand what was really, really, really done, we lost our language. We lost our lineage. We lost our heritage. We lost our culture. We lost our name. We lost our pedigree. We lost everything in that curse that was given to us in Deuteronomy 28. The issue comes in now when you have people that are political that are trying to make statements and make changes in Congress, and that's fine. You know, that's not an issue because that's going to be what it's going to be. You know, it's like pulling teeth to get a little bit, and that's fine. We used to making lemonade out of lemon peels. We used to doing that. That's not an issue. But the problem comes is when you understand how powerful it is for us to come together mentally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's all we're trying to do is to get you on a mental plane to say, hey, let me think about what they're talking about. And when you understand what really, really, really happened and what they really did to us, a lot of stuff that was important to you before is obsolete.
That's right.
Because guess what? There are people right now that have been authorized by the Most High to be imposters, to impersonate us as a nation of people.
That's the truth. That's the truth. And
And this is what's so deep about it. Had there not been someone to be imposters or to impersonate us, the story of the children of Israel or the seed of Jacob will actually be like a myth, like something that really isn't true. Like, you know, you have people now that say, well, it's still a myth. It came from Egypt. You know, they got all this stuff from Egypt off the walls of the Egyptians, yada, yada, yada. But here's my take on that. If this is true that they got it off of the walls of the Egyptians, and we know that a lot of stuff they did get, how come or why is it that the Most High didn't allow the Egyptians to see the birth of a nation called Israel?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that
right.
those writings or those pictographs are not just prophecies of a nation to come? That's the way I look at that. Of
Absolutely.
A people to come. I don't care what people say, and people say, well, there can't be just these group of people that the Most High chose and yada, yada, yada. You know, I can't get in the mind of the Creator and see why he chose and did what he did the way he did it. But I can say this, that out of everything that I have seen and everything that I've come to know, and even in my time, my secret time, and in prayer and seeking the Most High and seeking the Creator, I have come to the conclusion that there is a people. There is a people. And this is and this is why I know that there is a people, because when you look at even the establishment of the seat of the Queen of England, she based her authority and her royalty off of a lineage of a king.
Yes, she does.
Is that true, Yaina?
Absolutely. Yes, she does. Yes, she does. Biblically, her foundation of who they are as royalty, as sovereigns, is based off of the lineage of King David. Yes, it is.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's where she based her authority on a lineage, and they have it like it's intertwined and interwoven with the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Ephraim. So there is a people. I mean, we know that the rabbit hole is so deep that the rabbit don't live there no more. But I also understand that when I sit back and I look at this thing, because I'm going to keep it real with y'all. I have to sit back and look at this thing. Like, now, wait a minute now. I know they changed the book. I know originally that there was not a book per se, that things were written on tablets, on stone. I understand that. And they took the things and even some of the scrolls and they put it all together, put it in a book, and they gave us this book. I understand that. I understand what they did to the book. I understand they took out, they added in, they took away. They have some stuff hidden. They have stuff they never put in. They have stuff that we've never even seen, never read, and it will eventually come out. Eventually. But I cannot negate the fact that these people who are descendants of slaves that were scattered from the four corners of the earth are the ones that have suffered the most out of people that you see on the planet. You cannot negate that. People may try to negate that. They may try to reason. There's a reason around. Why is it that this particular people, Negroid people that they call Negroid, are the ones that have been used to build the world? The world. I remember this video I saw that MTV put together. This was a few years ago. And it's actually on YouTube. You can go to it. And it was, and they were making a mockery. They had these little children, they have these Caucasian little children. I got to say it like that because this is the truth. This is what I'm telling you about the video. This is truth, what I'm telling you, a fact about this video. So they had these Caucasian little kids dancing, and they had this music in the background saying, "Thank you, slaves." And the song was, "Slaves built the Parthenon, slaves built the White House, slaves built America." And then they have them dancing around, and then in the background, they show the Great Wall of China. And I said, this is amazing. I know we did all this other stuff, but are they giving a subliminal message that the slaves built the Great Wall of China?
Probably.
So our effect and our labor, the sweat, the tears, and the blood that have gone into the soil of the earth from my people, my ancestors, is yet still crying out to the Most High. The earth is crying out for the blood, sweat, and tears of the ancestors for the retribution of my people. And with the Creator, all things has to be balanced out. So just like we suffered, there's going to be a time that we will no longer suffer anymore. We will reign. And those that oppressed us, they will be oppressed. It's the truth. Because you have to balance everything out. The universe, the Most High, the Creator, is a creator that has balance. It's a fact. And it cannot and won't be denied. So I can't sit back and deny the fact that there is a people. There is a people that have suffered. You know, so my theory to the things that are on the walls in Egypt is I look at those as prophecies of the people to come, prophecies of events that were going to take place. I look at that as that. That's all I got to say.
Okay.
Shalom, this is Adonia once again. What you said is all fact. If we look at facts, this is what was written in the scriptures. It was written that the Almighty made a decree that shall not be transgressed. When he set the sun and the moon and the stars, those were part of the decree that shall not be transgressed. When he put the laws, statutes, and ordinances in place, those are things that shall not be transgressed. People have spun it all kinds of ways, but those things will never be, cannot be removed. Our aim and our goal here, now that we know ourselves, or some of us know ourselves, we must separate ourselves from these peoples. Now, I'm not trying to get off subject matter, but all of this is relative. You understand? The fact that the Almighty has to get his glory. So he put these people in place, you understand, for us to be chastised because of our forefathers. Our forefathers forsook the Almighty, you understand? And so we had to be chastised. We went into captivity several times. You understand? But this captivity is supposed to be the last captivity. The Almighty is going to chastise these people for what they did to us. You understand? They were not supposed to put up. Were not supposed to put their hand on us. He did it in the time of Job. You understand? He told the adversary not to put his. He can do what he wanted, but don't put his hands on us. And And after that, you understand, he brought Job back into what he was supposed to have. But see, these things that we're talking about now is about the restoration of Israel, the bringing back of a nation. And once we get together as a nation, the Almighty will let us know all about what's necessary for us, you understand, as a people. You understand? We're supposed to be coming up, and those other nations are coming down. If you look at what's happening around the world today, you understand, the Almighty works through the elements, and he works through people. The storms and everything and the earthquakes are multiplying now, and all over the earth. They're not multiplying. You understand? We know that the Almighty could make this happen in a second, but we are still in the punishment corner. Unfortunately, we're gonna have to go through some stuff. You understand? Or still go through some stuff. You understand? All of those people, those activists before that came before us, that you mentioned. You understand? Those had to be in place because the Almighty said he was not going to make an end to us. You know, so at this particular time in our lives here today, we're going to have to try to come together as a nation. It's going to be a difficult task, man. But if we commit ourselves to bringing back a nation, it won't be as hard as we think that it's going to be. I relinquish the mic.
All right. Anybody have a comment? You can please push one. And I'd like to piggyback off of that too, because you know, bringing the conversation back to the whole lineage issue. You know, when you deal with us as a people, when you deal with us as a lineage, everything, all of that's been lost and it's been gone. I mean, and unfortunately, our people have been forced to believe that our history started here. And the sad part about it is the generation after us. They may know a little bit, you know, if they're in their late 20s and 30s, but their children, you know, the way the system is set up, the system is not set up to promote us as being slaves. The knowledge is not set up to give them history of the actual slave ships. And the more and more that our history is being watered down, the less those generations before after them are going to know actually how we got here and what happened to us. And that's what forced assimilation means. It means that you are forced to assimilate yourself into the host country where you are, so that our history, our black history, starts with the movie stars and musicians and people who discovered, scientists who discovered certain things that they never got the credit for, or people who moved us into from being second-class citizens into politicians. But nobody's telling a real story, and the real story is this, that no matter what position you are, the chain is only as strong as its weakest link, and no matter how polished and political you come, no matter how much money you have and that you've arrived, I guarantee you, if you have made it to the point where you've arrived, you have pledged something to some deity, or you have given yourself over to a cause, or you have completely separated yourself from your people, because there is no way, and I will say it again, there is no way possible that you can look at the conditions of our people, even being wealthy, and not feel anything in your heart, because those people are our people. We came here together. We are the descendants of the transatlantic slave trade. And all we're saying is this, is that at the end of the day, you know, the Bible is, some people look at the Bible as though the Bible is just a book where people read for religious purposes. But the Bible is one of the oldest historical books that we have to trace history back, lineage back. And some people, okay, you all say you Hebrew Israelites, but people have anything other than the scriptures of the Bible to validate that you are who you say you are. And what provides something is that not only do we do it, but the powers that be have done it as well. You look at the royal crown, and you think,
you're breaking
Elizabeth
up really bad. Yaina, you're breaking up really bad, so you might want to get a different spot.
Yeah, when you look at the royal crown, can you hear me better now?
Yes, that's much better.
And you understand Queen Elizabeth and the things that when you look at their royal lineage is based off of Joseph of Arimathea. And
yes.
Joseph of Arimathea was a part of the Sanhedrin Council, and Joseph of Arimathea was the person who gave his grave, according to the scriptures, to the Amashiach. So they trace their lineage from Joseph of Arimathea's daughters, and that their daughters married kings, and that their daughters are the lineage of not only the tribe of Judah, but also of Ephraim. So this same Bible that we use to validate who we are, they also use that same Bible to validate who they are.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do.
And it's only when we do it that it becomes a problem.
Exactly. And that's what most people don't understand, because I think some people haven't even sat down and even thought about the fact, well, where did Elizabeth get her royalty from? You know, first of all,
mm-hmm.
you know, most people don't know that they bought the crown.
Yes, they did.
Most people don't know that. You know, they bought the crown, but yet and still they base their lineage off of these historical biblical people. And that's where her royalty, so-called royalty, is established. Well, when you really look at the scriptures and begin to understand, according to what they have given us, you know, if they're basing stuff off of what they've given us, then, and we can still base who we are off of what they've given us, you know, then it is going to be a problem. But because when you look at the book, you can see us all through the book, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When they take the scripture and say that they're part of the tribe of Judah, well, we know in the scriptures that the scripture talks about Judah being scattered. Yeah, I mean, that's a fact. You know, the inhabitants of Judah, the people of Judah taken into captivity, they were scattered, taken into captivity. So, you know, how is it that you all have kept your heritage? How is it that you all remember your lineage when the scripture is clear that we were going to forget our lineage, that we weren't even going to remember who we were, you know, or who we are? So it's important that our people to understand and know that, you know, these people have taken your position and they have taken your place, but it was strategic that they did this, and it actually was in the plan of the Creator to actually preserve the name of the nation of Yisrael so that we would not be forgotten. Even though you have the imposters in our place, it was so that our name would not be forgotten. And they have saved our spot until it's time for them to give it up.
Absolutely. Beautiful. And you know what, let me piggyback off of that, because I did bring a scripture in, and I just want to read it. We don't really get into doctrinal issues, but this is in the book of Deuteronomy, because you have to understand really what happened. I'm in Deuteronomy 32, and I guess I'll start at number 12, 32 and 12. He says, so the Most High alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. As a matter of fact, I'll go all the way down to 16. Let me start at 16. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils and not to Elohim, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begot thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Most High saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and his daughters. And he said, now listen to what he said. He said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very forward generation, children in whom there is no faith. Now, listen at 21, and this is what he told them. This is how we know that the Jewish people that claim to be the people of the book are the authorized imposters. He said, they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not Elohim, or it says that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanity. And listen what he said. He said, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. So he has caused these people to take our place, and he has caused these people to hold our spot, so that, for one thing, that it would provoke us to jealousy to see those people in those positions claiming to be from the royal house of King David, claiming to be from the 12 tribes of Jacob, of Israel, claiming to be the chosen people of the book. All of this was done to provoke us to jealousy because our ancestors provoked him to jealousy. And we look at them now, and if you notice, and I'm going to say something, they run everything.
Yes, they do.
They run everything from the banking industry to Blog Talk Radio Show.
Okay.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Speak the truth.
And they're authorized to do that. And they're authorized to do it. And so that's what we say to people who, especially the people that were against sovereignty, well, nobody told us you can't build a nation, and nobody told you to build a nation, and nobody told you to do this. Guess what? The Most High told us to come together, and we're going to do it. But what we're not saying is this. We don't want Jerusalem, because if you really knew the state that Jerusalem is in right now, you wouldn't want it anyway. It is corrupt.
That's right.
We're not talking about going anywhere, and we're definitely not talking about being a threat to our host country where we're in right now. All we're talking about is that it's time to recognize who you are. It's time to come together as a people. It's time to come together and build our resources together. Now, you don't have to file sovereignty. You don't have to do any of that, but you can still come together, because we got to come together, because the government has already told us they don't have any money.
Yes. Yes. This is true. This is true. And what's the sad part about it is that you have all of these students that are coming out of high school, and they're going to college. And they're paying they're getting all these student loans and all of this to pay for their education. But in reality, there are no jobs. They paint the illusion that there are jobs, but there are no jobs. That's just the truth. I mean, a lot of these jobs, these companies have outsourced stuff over in India, over in all these other countries. You know, they've outsourced stuff. You know, when they start outsourcing these jobs, you know, these positions and stuff to these other countries, a whole bunch of jobs were lost to the citizens of the United States. A whole bunch of jobs were lost to our people. So, I mean, you got the illusion of all of this false, you know, this propaganda that they put out there. Oh, unemployment is on the low and yada, yada, yada. Unemployment lies. When I look around and I go out here and I get on the bus and I get on the train and I look around and I look at my people suffering, I look at my brethren that are homeless on the street, and I can look at them and my heart just go out to them. I hurt for my people. And I spend a lot of time going to the libraries, and I see a lot of our men, the kings, in the library here in Atlanta, in the library, on the computer, you know, looking for jobs, whatever they're doing. But they're in there. A lot of times in the wintertime, they're in the library because it's cold. They're trying to stay warm. And I'm looking around at the suffering of my people. I seen some today. I was coming home from work, getting on the train so I can get home and do this show. you know, and I'm looking at my people sitting out there, and I'm just, my heart, just every time I see the suffering of my people,
mm-hmm.
it brings me to tears.
And what brings me to tears is that we don't recognize where we at. We want to still assimilate and still go along with this. And it hurts
mm-hmm.
me hard to know that we as a people, we can't see. We can't see,
right.
You know, that adage where it says, can't see the forest for the trees?
Yes.
That's right. You know, it hurts me because we just want to keep on these blinders. We're looking for outside help. We don't need no
mm-hmm.
outside help. We need to look within ourselves and start helping our own. When he said pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, to me that means if we join together, we can do this. That's what it means.
Yeah.
That's right.
Keep on talking, Gavert. I'm interested.
Okay, but you know what? This is the issue, and here's one of the biggest issues. And I know this is going to ruffle some feathers, but we supposed to already have the answer. I mean, you know, for some of us, you know, church is supposed to be the answer. You know, we have a whole system. And when you really understand the seriousness of that system, there it is. That's religious assimilation. When you understand the seriousness of that system and you know what's really going on in there, you know what I mean, that it keeps people to the point where they are in bondage, and it's like, you know, really – the worst thing you can do is to think you're free, and you really aren't free at all. When you really understand that, and you know what, and you challenge any pastor, because I was a Christian pastor, had my own ministry, and ministered for years and years and years until the Holy Ghost or the Ruach HaKodesh brought me into the knowledge and led me into all truth to understand what's really going on here. I mean, you know, this whole system, and when I tell you this whole system, I mean this whole system, from corporate America to religion to the finances to the educational system, all of this is designed to promote the corporation of America and to keep the true Israelite people of the Most High suppressed. Now, a lot of people say, well, you always talking this old black power stuff, and black people are always somewhere complaining about what they don't have and how come they don't have this and they don't have that. We're not complaining anymore. The worst thing we can do is start to complain. We're not asking you for anything, and we're not making any excuses for ourselves as a people, but there was something very atrocious done to us. And when you think about it, we're the only people on the planet that don't have a landmass that we can call our own. We don't have a language that we can call our own. We don't have a culture that we can call our own. Hip-hop is not our culture.
Right.
Tumshi, keep talking. I'm sorry.
Most people don't even realize that hip-hop is a religion. Hip-hop is really a religion. And most people don't even know that.
No, and again, we find ourselves in a situation where we're here, and this is where we are. We're forced to be in this society because this is where we are. And entertainment has been given to us, but the people that provide the entertainment are the authorized imposters. So you got to understand the psychological stuff that is happening to us as a people. The things that they put on there, on the television, on the radio, on the music, is not to promote anything positive from us as a people. We're either in a subservient role, or we're either in an immoral role, or we're doing something to cause our people to act the way that they say we're supposed to act. So you've got to understand the dynamics of it all. And when you go back to Psalms 83, and when you look at Psalms 83, and it says that they got together and conspired.
Ooh.
10 nations got mm-hmm. together and conspired. They said, let us come together and agree in an agreement that the name of Israel be remembered no more. That was a strategic plan to put us in the roles that we are, that even once we came into the the knowledge of who we are. It's very difficult to get people to wake up and come out. It's hard.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
They've been so indoctrinated, and you know what, Kavon? They couldn't tell me that church wasn't real. You couldn't tell me church wasn't real.
Yeah, me too. You know,
all of the music and the shouting and the spiritualism, but you know what it is? I'm going to tell you what it is. And I broke down the components of it the other day because I really had to go before the Most High and say, what the heck is going on? But you know what? It's 30% emotion. It's 30% theatrics.
Yeah.
It's 30% brainwashing.
Mm-hmm.
That's 90%. And then you got 10%, you got 9% showmanship.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got 1% false truth.
That's right. That's true.
Watered
I mean,
down,
that's
that watered down truth.
That is absolutely true. Because when I look at it, when I was in the church, and I was very, very active in the church. I grew up in the church as a young lady, you know. And I remember my roles and my positions in the church and then growing up, you know. And then as I grew up and then I got married and my husband at the time, I was an ordained elder and preaching in different places, being invited to preach, then being assistant pastor and then having our own ministry and then going from that to being a part of a larger ministry where we were on the street, actually in the ghettos, ministering to those that were less fortunate, a lot of our people that were in the projects. So we were on the street dealing with people and dealing with the young children and everything. And looking at all of that and remembering how people, even in the midst of that, looking at the needs of our people and still seeing that the church really didn't have an answer. I remember there were times when I would say, you know what, just this just don't make no sense. Something's just not right here.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this laboring and people laboring and sweating and tears and I'm just gonna keep it real with you. All of this laboring, sweating, tears, and the people are on the bottom, and I'm looking at the pastor being elevated, and the pastor giving the message to the people. You're gonna, you know, keep sowing. You're gonna reap. Keep sowing. If you sow into me, the Most High, or they wouldn't say Most High, they would say the Lord or God will sow back into you. You know, you doing an upward sow. I mean, all of these words, word plays on the minds and the hearts of the people. And I would see these people give their heart and money, earn money. We did. We gave thousands of dollars. When I tell you we gave thousands of dollars, I mean, we gave thousands, literally thousands of dollars. If I broke down to you how much money we gave on a monthly basis, how much money we gave on a quarterly basis, how much money we gave on a yearly basis, it will blow your mind. And some of y'all, it won't blow your mind. Some of you will say, you know what? I'm right there with you. And I look at that and I said, doggone it, all that money I gave, I could have paid for all of my kids' education to go to school.
Me too.
Had all that money saved up, and my babies wouldn't have to take one loan out for school. So when you look at this, you have to sit back and you have to begin to think. You know, and that's one thing they don't want you to do when you're in the church. They don't want you to think for yourself. Whatever the pastor say, go. Whatever he say, you follow. And that's simply not true. You know, they deal with the emotions, and that started in slavery. It started in slavery, where the slave masters would stand at the steps of the church or the meeting room, wherever they will have, that our people will come together and have their service, their church services. Making sure that the pastor or the preacher is preaching a sermon of it's going to get better by and by, soon and very soon. It's going to be all right. Keep your head up, because the Lord know what you need, and the Lord going to come deliver you. Tapping into the emotions of our people to keep them bound. It's still the same way today, but on a grander scale. Slavery within the system of the church, religion has always been used as a tool to control our people. Not just in Christianity, you got it in Islam. You got it. Religion is a tool to control people. You have it in the lives of the Hebrews. It's just these different camps. I'm going to keep it 100 with y'all. Ain't no sense. This show is about keeping it real. If we're going to deal with real life stuff, we got to deal with the real that is right before us. It's enough illusions that we have seen. It's enough illusion that's been given to the people. We have to deal with what is real. Even within these camps, these Hebrew Israelite camps, it ain't nothing but just like another church with a name Hebrew Israelite. I got a more, or I got a teacher. He ain't a preacher, he's a teacher. But the people are still bound. They can't even see the creator. They can't even look to the creator for looking to the more. Being bound with legalism and laws of men instead of allowing the people to understand how to flow in the power of the Almighty. This thing is deep. It's deep. And religion can never be the base of building a nation, because religion controls people. You have to build it on the foundation of the Creator.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And you know, when you think about it, and I want to let me because I found my paper and I want to straighten that. I want to clarify something. Let me change it because I want to do the composition of the church over. And we're not picking on anybody. We're just exposing the system, the whole system, all of the systems that make up this country that we're in, to let us know that this is how things go, and this is the ultimate way things are supposed to be, and that's not true. Let me say this. I'm going to do this again, and I want everybody that's Christian, I want you to pay attention to your pastor. You go to church next Sunday, I want you to pay attention to the way they preach. I want you to look around at the congregation, and I want you to watch. I'm going to say it again. 30% emotion, 30% motivational speaking, 30% biblical history, fragmented biblical history, 9% showmanship, and 1% watered-down truth. And I promise you, if you really pay attention, that's what you're getting. If you really watch it, that's what you're getting. And in the motivational speaking is the organ player, because he sets the tone. And they say all the time that the spirit flows on the music. And if they're not telling the truth, I don't know what it is. And it's emotional.
True,
right? It gets you in this state of euphoria. And it's like, oh, I know he's coming. But when you read that word, and you really get into that word, you understand a whole different concept of what this thing is. And my uncle said it best, because my uncle has been a Hebrew Israelite way longer than any of us was. He was like, it's like this. He said, if you're out in the field, and you have to be out in the field, and you're supposed to be out there 7 days a week picking cotton, and the only time you was able to come out of the field was to go to Master's Church, you'll come to church. And you sit up in there and you learn the ways of Master. And you clap when he said clap, and you shout when he said shout, and you scream hallelujah when he said hallelujah. And you were indoctrinated to be able to do these things. Now, let me say this. I don't think there's anything wrong with coming together and worshiping. Not at all. I'm not against it, not at all. But when the message, when it's on point and the message is there and the people know what they are doing and who they are, then you can, then he could, I mean, you got to understand that first, Second Chronicles 7:14 is very explicit. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will I forgive their sins and will heal their land. So, I mean, you know, I don't have anything against coming together. I don't have anything against preaching. None whatsoever at all against any of that. But the issue is the way it's done and how it's done is where the issue is at. And when you understand, and I'm going to say this really very slowly because I was once a pastor, when you understand that Christianity is an extension of the Catholic Catholicism, then you understand that it does not promote Yah. It does not promote Yahawashah. It does not promote the Hebrew people at all. It doesn't. I'm sorry. I wish I could say that, you know, all of the shots. I'm like Kavah. I made real good money. I'm telling you. I had a business that brought in $10,000 a month. I made real good money. So when I pay tithes, I pay real good money. I want my money back.
Wish I could get my back, honey. Right, doggone now.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I want my money back. I fed into the lie. You know, if you give, and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Tenfold, all the stuff they say, all of, I want my money back.
True.
I could pay my house off right now that I'm sitting in if I had all of the money that I gave.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's only going to be a remnant. It's only going to be a remnant, man. We can preach it to the choir.
That's the truth. You get back. You want your money back. I want my money back. Keep, you know what I tell them today? Keep the cloak. Put the robe on. Do the dance. Shout through the motion. Do whatever you're going to do. Keep the cloak. I mean, you got thousands of people listening. You got thousands of people hanging out the words to these preachers, these very words. Keep the cloak. Continue to do the mess. But I guarantee you, you're going to answer for what you're doing.
It's the truth. It's the truth. And here's the thing.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry about that, Yaida. I think we all a little excited on here today. But here's the thing about, and you mentioned the tithes, and I mentioned all the giving, not just the tithes, but they always called it a sacrifice, a sacrificial offering, basing things off of the scripture, not just a sacrificial offering, but then you had the pastor's aid, and you gave then you had the pastor's anniversary, then you had the pastor's birthday, then you had the pastor's wife's birthday, then you had all these Mother's Day and Father's Day. These were all days we was giving money. Woo!
Yes, it was.
So I'm telling you, I tell you what y'all love, and that's the truth.
That's right.
I ain't gonna lie. I mean, it's just the truth. You know, am I embarrassed? Of course, I'm embarrassed. You know, I bought into the lie, like you said. But here's the thing: they base giving tithes off the scriptures in Malachi. They base that, you know, telling people to give tithes off of Malachi 3:8, but they never even go into the depths to tell you that really tithe is a food. If you understand the law of the tithe is actually food, and it was to go to the priest, and the priest were to distribute it to the widow, to the fatherless, and to those that were orphaned. So the poor, and those that, you know, they couldn't feed themselves.
That is correct.
But here's the problem I've always had. And trust me when I tell you I've had this problem, and I was not afraid to address it. When I would see them taking in all these tithes and all these offerings and all these sacrificial offerings and all of these, some of them call it first fruits. We know what first fruits is. I mean, they're taking all the stuff from the scriptures and putting it in play to get people to give more money. I will ask them, I said, we're giving in all this money. I don't see us helping nobody that's poor.
Right.
I don't see us out there helping the homeless. I don't see us, you know, all I see is this money is being distributed to have more anniversary parties, have more of this for the pastor. We're getting a bigger jet. We're getting a this. And when I tell you, I've said this to the pastor and his wife, you not being embarrassed or ashamed, I meant what I said. Why are we not helping the poor? If you say you know, that's what we're supposed to be doing, I've always had a heart for the poor. I've always had a heart for my people that were less fortunate and struggling. And I would look around the building, and I would see these single mothers with their children, and they're struggling. They don't have no place to stay, no place to live. And I'm looking at some of the victims. I remember even one time when there was some Katrina victims that had come into town and they had came in and been a part of the church. And I remember this one mother, she came up to me. I don't know why. I always drew the mothers and different ones. You know, they knew that we were in ministry. We were part of the leadership and yada, yada, yada. And they would come to me. And this one mother came to me, and she said, Sister so-and-so, she said, I need your help. I knew she was a Katrina victim, but she said, I'm a Katrina victim, and I still haven't gotten my money from FEMA. Now, she's an elderly mother, and this is a church that seated thousands of people, had thousands of members, and she was without. Now, she came to me, she said, can you help me call FEMA and let them know that I don't have my money. I haven't gotten my money, and I need my money. I said, yeah, we're gonna get it taken care of right away. So we got on the phone. We contacted FEMA. I got her connected to the right person that she needed to talk to so that she can get her money that FEMA was paying out to those Katrina victims. And we got all that squared away. So there, during this time, we were having a quote-unquote revival, whatever, with one of the big-time preachers that came into town. Now, this preacher came into town, and he was preaching. There was thousands of people there. And he was telling people that that the Most High, or he said the Lord or God, wanted you all to pay for me to get a bigger jet. I got a jet, but he said, y'all, it ain't my responsibility to pay for the jet. It's y'all's responsibility. Now, I'm sitting there looking straight crazy. I wanted to cuss. Now, I'm keeping it real with y'all. Y'all want me to? I'm going to keep it real. Ain't no sense of pretending. I was pissed off when I heard him say that to the people. And so he said, well, I'm going to have, he had his sons do all the collecting of the money. So he said, well, I want y'all to stand up, and we're going to have a microphone. Y'all stand up, and I want y'all to tell how much y'all going to give.
Mm-hmm.
So the people were lining up. They were standing up, lining up. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm looking, because I'm like, this is straight crazy. And guess who I seen stand up? The little old mother who I helped call FEMA knew she didn't have the money. And the pastor of the church that we were at, he knew she was a Katrina victim. She stood up to pledge because she's thinking, I'm supposed to help get. I want to be blessed. So I'm going to help get him a jet, you know, so he can get a bigger jet. I got up, and I walked straight out of that sanctuary. Mm-hmm. And I stood in the hallway because I said, I will no longer be a I cannot participate in this. This is not of, at the time I said God or Lord, I said this is not of God. That our people be abused, financially abused and taken advantage of. And this pastor knows that this lady is a Katrina victim. She don't have nothing. But yet she stood up to pledge monies that she really didn't have. I was pissed off. And I walked
okay,
out and
me,
I stood. Go ahead.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Okay, that's the church. Let's check that off. That's the church. Guess what I look at here where I live at? In Ohio, we're in a recession, right? You agree with me, right?
Yes.
We're in a recession and people don't have jobs, right?
Right.
Guess what they're doing all over the state of Ohio?
Wow.
They build casinos.
Oh, wow.
We're in the middle of a recession.
Wow.
All over the state of Ohio, they built casinos. Now, for the average person, they would look at that and be like, oh, wow, that's jobs. We're bringing jobs to this. The only way you're going to have a job is if somebody comes in there and loses their money.
Exactly.
And then somebody went in there and said, oh, they have a special place for the high rollers. And I laughed. I said, high rollers, low rollers, the whole plan is for you to lose your money.
Right.
That is correct.
So then you have the powers that be that create entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it is. It's nothing but entertainment, just like the church. Set up to do what? Take your money from you. So everybody's on this major campaign to take your money from you. And yeah, they'll provide some entertainment for you. And it was like when J-Ted made that movie, the last movie that he made, somebody called me and they was like, do you want to go see T.D. Jakes' movie? I said, do you honestly know who you're talking to? I'm not giving them no more of my money. I'm not giving you, I got some tapes and some CDs over here in my office on my shelf of T.D. Jakes, and if I could write him and tell, give me my money back. I'm not buying a movie. I'm not buying no more tapes. I'm not going to the show supporting nothing, because until they tell the truth, they are liars.
Exactly. Exactly.
Look at what else is happening right now. They got the mega church, and where are they located? They're not located where they can help nobody. They located in the boonies somewhere where they can't where the people that need the help can't get to the help. It's just a cycle that they got going on that doesn't help the people. You understand? And the people that they got contributing. They check they income tax to see if they could if they're in a big enough job where they can pay the tithes. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Right now today, they were talking about Pueblo Odaba on the radio. You understand, about him having this Lear jet. You understand? What does he need a jet for? I'm just trying to figure this out. You know, it's dumb.
He's spreading a lie. We're paying for him to spread a lie.
Exactly. It's the truth.
Ooh-wee. You understand? And see, they built these mega churches, but I didn't hear nothing about them setting up anything in the ghettos, in the hood. You understand? To help the people. I don't get it. I'm telling you, I'm stuck on this here. I'm stuck on stupid here. You understand? Something is wrong with this picture. You understand? But the thing is that We have to set ourselves aside. We have to start trying to take care of ourselves. When these people find out the truth, they got to have some place to go. So our object here,
right,
and is we need to be trying to set up things. You understand? To let these people know that they got an alternative here. You understand? Instead of going with that nonsense. You understand? And it's nonsense. We all know that it's nonsense. You understand what I'm saying? So if we set up things, you understand, we got to be a light unto the other nations. You understand? The other nations are supposed to be able to look at us and say, them people must be, the creator must be with them. You understand? Because look at them climbing this ladder here. You understand? Look at what they're doing for their peoples. You understand? We set up something here to destroy them, and here they're coming back alive. You understand? It is our duty to be committed to setting up a nation. Now, I know that a lot of people, you understand, on this line don't understand, but they will understand if we start accomplishing things, start trying to get things together, you understand, start trying to build this nation by supporting whatever we need. We ain't never supposed to have nobody that's hungry or without no place to stay. We just got to do it now. You understand? Now, I say this here. There is no magic bullet, man. It's not going to pop together like no rubber band. We're going to have to try to move in the direction of rebuilding our nation. You understand? And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. And for one thing, you understand, the Almighty will be with us. He's been with us all through the scriptures, all through the scriptures.
Okay.
You understand? Anytime that we had any turmoil, you understand, going on, the Almighty was there to help us out. He inspired somebody, you understand, to show us the way that we should go. And I relinquish the mic.
I agree. You know, but like I said, it's not just the church. It's not just the casinos. It's all of the systems that are set up in corporate America. They are set up, whether it is the music industry. If you look at the songs that they sing, they don't promote the law. They don't promote Torah law and to live a moralistic life. They promote the opposite: sex, drugs, and killing.
Yeah.
When you look at television, television doesn't promote Torah law and the law that's supposed to govern us as a people. It doesn't promote that. You know what it promotes? It promotes sex, drugs, and killing. Total opposites of the law. When you look at the fashion industry is set up to promote certain people, and they give certain people the platform to be able to platform their clothing on different shows, and they advertise them subliminally through different programs that they have on there. And those clothes don't promote Torah law, because we're not supposed to wear any fabrics that are mixed. It's completely contrary to what the Most High set in place for his children. The whole system is set up to go against what the Most High set up for his children and for the world to live by. Now, this is the issue that comes in. Because we are so programmed, we spend our whole life working to achieve and buying the things that are subliminally sent to us through those outlets. And guess who owns all of those outlets? The authorized imposters. So they have spent millions and millions of dollars to figure out a way to subliminally keep you in the dark to the point where you never come into the knowledge of who you really are, so that you can turn and do what the word says do. The whole system is set up like that. From the food, guess what? We're not supposed to eat certain things, but when you look at the television, pay attention to the commercials and watch what's on the television. All they promote is scavenger fish and pork. Bacon, bacon,
yep.
Bacon, bacon, bacon. That's all they promote.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. The system is set up. It is set up to go against the word. Every distance, and you know what people are, and my sister is an apostle, and I told her, I said, you know the problem that we come in contact with? She said, what is wrong with you? Why are you going in such a tailspin? You have completely stopped coming to church. What is your problem? I said, I found something out that I'm really afraid to tell you, and I don't know how to tell you, because I don't want to throw you off on what you're doing, but you need to wake up. I said, I just want to let you know that the church is worshiping Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, that's a lie. I said, no, baby, you got to understand. Lucifer is running the church. He's running the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
He is the God of this world.
That is
and
correct.
Every system that's in place, every outcome that's in place, he has twisted it to go against the word of the Most High. Everything is twisted. We have a dietary law that we must live by.
But guess what? They deliberately put certain things in the food that they know go against our dietary laws.
They got pork in just about everything. They got pork in soap. Most people don't know that you taking a bath in pork. They got pork in everything. They will use pork as a base for almost everything. Things that have gel or gelatin is either if it's not a beef base, it's a pork base. And a lot of times you have to call the companies and manufacturers and say, what type of gelatin is this? Is this pork or is this beef? Or is it, you know, if it was a vegetarian-based, they'll say vegetarian. But, yeah, they got pork in everything. I remember one time I had to go to the dentist it was like a couple years ago, and I really needed some surgery done on my mouth. And the hygienist was getting ready to use a local anesthetic, but it was a gelatin base. And I looked at it. I said, "Uh-oh!" I said, "You can't put that on my." I said, "You can't put that on my gums. I have to know exactly what it is." I need to know if this has got pork in it because I see it's a gel base. And she said, "Really?" I said, "Oh yeah." I said, "You know, whenever there's a gel base, a lot of times it's pork base." I said, "You can't put that on my gums." So I just had to just deal with whatever they were doing. You know, they had to give me a shot, but I was not going to take that local anesthetic where they put the to numb me with the gel base. So it's in everything. You have to really, really, really be careful. I mean, it's crazy.
They found out that we eat a lot of hamburger. Guess what they put on hamburger now? Bacon.
What's that?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
And I heard about
it too.
Yeah. I stop eating meat. I don't eat no meat. I stop eating meat. But you still have to eat
the
meat.
But you know what? I'm meat. But guess what, Kavai? You know what? People, they'll listen to us and be like, what's the big deal? It ain't nothing but some bacon. Guess what? Hebrew Israelite, the people of the Most High, are not supposed to eat pork. The people of the Most High, according to the book, are not supposed to eat shrimp. It's something. We have a dietary law that he gave us that we are supposed to follow according to his word. They know this. That's why when my grandmother and them and her mother before them and they were and the generation before them that were actually slaves and out there picking cotton, she said they used to give them chitlins off the pig. She said we never had to pay for no chitlins. We used to go get the scraps that came from the pig. It was only until they figured out they could make money from it that they started selling it to us. And that's all we knew what to eat was pig. On Easter Sunday, guess what's going to be on the table? A ham. That's all we know how to do. So that's what I'm saying. Every system, and please pay attention, people, every system that we've had to live under in this environment is a system that totally goes against the Most High and his word. And some people will be like, well, church doesn't. Yes, it does, because you know what? One particular thing and that I can say is they don't keep the Sabbath. Sunday is not the Sabbath. That's why we do this radio show on Sunday, because for us, this is the first day of the week.
Exactly. I mean, people have to realize what has been done and what is being done to us. I mean, it's deep. I mean, it's when you come out, slowly begin to come out of the illusion, because it's a big illusion.
Hello?
I mean, what they have done, you know what? I got to keep it real. I mean, it was really, really a master plan the way they set this up.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so... The intricacies of the way the system was set up, man, I'm telling you, I could say it was brilliant. And that's just the truth.
Yes, it was.
It was absolutely brilliant.
Ooh, it sure was. I mean, and guess what? And guess who they got helping? Guess who they got helping to sell the plan? Our own people. They doing just what they did in slavery. They using our own people. So those pastors that sitting up at that pulpit talking about gimme, 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 and when I get tired of you, gimme, 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 then God gonna give you, give you, give you, give you. They are part of the plan too. Guess what they're doing?
Yeah.
They're working with the beast to keep you in slavery, and their payment for working with the beast is that you pay them your money, and then they'll tell you, see, if you do like me, you're gonna be like me. But guess what? They forgot to tell you, in order to be like them, you gotta have a congregation, because they didn't get rich by themselves. They didn't get rich until they had a congregation. So know for the surety, when you walk into those buildings are part of the beast. Every system, every entity is part of the beast, and the whole part of the beast is to keep you to the point where you don't come into the knowledge of who you are, because they know that once we find out who we are and we began to turn and pray to the Almighty, to the Most High, our situation will start to change.
Oh, it won't just change, not just our situation. It's going to make this whole system crumble. Real talk. If we came together with one mind in unity, with one energy, and began to call on the Most High, do you realize the vibrations and the frequency of the words that you say? It's going to open up to God.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. But you know what, Kavah? They have so many people brainwashed that they don't really care about anything other than give me my piece of the pie, however small it is. Let me raise my family and let me go ahead and live a good life and leave a legacy and die. That's what we need. They don't understand. You all don't understand. You are kings and queens and royalty. You're a nation that is the apple of his eye. You're the apple of his eye. Right. Go ahead, Adonia.
Kane, I was just going to say that we got to understand those that are Israelites today who know themselves and who stay in the scriptures. We got to be more committed in doing what we need to do to set this up to help build this nation. I can't, say it more often, you understand, is that is our only job. If we don't do that, you understand what I'm saying, we're defeating our purpose of being here. You understand? So we got to try to do those things, man. You know that they're against us. So, I mean, we can hear these things and say these things and know what had happened to us and know what's happening to us now, but we got to do something now. Now it's our job. It's nobody else's job. We can't look outside ourselves and find no help. We got to trust in the Almighty and do what we're supposed to do. He will, just like you had mentioned, you understand, you was in the church, but the Almighty, you understand, gave you another spirit, gave you another understanding, you understand, and brought you up out of that thing. And so, like I tried to say, you understand, once we start accomplishing certain stuff in Israel, those same people will see, and he will give them the understanding to make some changes in their life. It's not going to be everybody. Unfortunately, man, we just going to have to see this. You know, when we see these things that's happening to our people, you understand what I'm saying? It should inspire us more to get this stuff together. You understand? The more we save, the more the more we put ourselves in position. You understand? The better, the more the Almighty will bless us and be with us. You understand? We have to show the Almighty that we want to be back here. We want to do the laws. In Deuteronomy 28, the first verse talks about how in that day we got to be diligently doing the law. We have to diligently come back to the Almighty and do his law. Now that is our only job, is to love that God and do the commandments. You understand? And that and the commandments talk about how, you understand, when we see our brother's ass in a ditch, we need to help him whether we like him or not.
That's right.
That's
true.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. That's right.
That's right.
And that's what you don't see. Like, you know, you touched on earlier, Yaine, about the music industry. And most of the people that are seeking and searching and trying to get, that is a wicked industry. I mean, it's
yes,
all
it
wicked. But most of them don't even understand that the gospel music and the secular hip-hop music, all of them people are in the bed together.
They all have the same agent.
Yes, they do. The gospel music and the secular worldly music, all of them have the same agent. They're in the bed together. Period.
Yes, they are.
I want you to understand now. I love you. You understand? I love my people. I love the Almighty. You understand?
Yes.
But
yes.
We cannot even think about them people, man. We know what's going on. We see that. We know that. You understand? So, we just got to try to be more, you know, like you got this this forum, this venue here to try to get people to come up with solutions here. You understand? So that we can get out of this mess, and it's a mess. You understand what I'm saying? But it's not gonna be everybody. Everybody's not going to be involved here. You understand? And we could, you know, if we started building our nation and started helping one another and pooling our money, you understand what I'm saying? 10%, I say 10%. I'm not saying that's the exact figure, but I'm just using that because the scriptures talked about the 10%. You understand? If we started pooling our money over a year, we can pick a project. You understand? And build that project up until it becomes self-sustaining. Once it becomes self-sustaining, they're paying their 10%. You understand? And then we can go on and on and on for there. Once we start giving up our little 10%, we're not supposed to stop, because that's what's helping building the nation. You understand? And I'm saying this here because I don't see us coming together under no doctrine. I think that will come later on. After we started building a nation, we'll find out, well, the Almighty said he had made a decree that shall not be transgressed. That means the laws, statutes, and ordinances are in there forever. You understand? Now, we can spend it any kind of way we want to, or they ain't in effect no more, and et cetera, et cetera. You understand? But, you know, the dietary laws, all of those laws, you understand, was ordained by the Almighty. And fact of the matter is that we are the people of the diaspora, the ones that came up out of Egypt. I mean, the ones that came up out of that continent and was brought to this continent. You understand? So we need to try to get those things together. If we don't do that, you understand, we're defeating our purpose here. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know
true.
What? I think he has a very valid point, and the reason why that we say the things that we say is because everybody that listens to the show is not aware of a lot of things that are going on, and this is the kind of wake-up. But I'm glad that, you know, you brought that up about how the dietary laws and all the laws are absolute, and that we're going to live by the laws and all that, because we will. The whole world will eventually come up under Torah law, and we will live by that law. But the problem is when you deal with the powers that be and the powers that are in the way, they want to say that when we use the Bible as a validation of who we are, then we're taking spiritual scriptures to try to identify a natural inheritance. And that's what we brought to the point in the beginning, is that when they do it, it's okay, because for the British crown to say that they are the direct descendants of King Dawid or King David and use Joseph of Arimathea out of the scriptures to validate who they are, then we can use that same book to validate who we are, and we can use that same book to validate Torah law. So that's all we're saying.
Let me interrupt for 1 second here. We cannot even worry about that. We got the Almighty on our side. You understand? So when we stand up, the Almighty is with us, and it don't make no difference what they say. You understand? Like I said, man, they can't turn back none of the attributes of the Almighty. None of that stuff. You understand what I'm saying? All we got to do is trust in the Almighty and put together something that's going to sustain our living. That's what all of these things is about. You understand? You know, like I had mentioned earlier, I'm sorry for interrupting, and I just want to get this out. You understand? When I said that all of those people that came before us, that stood in the breach, you understand, to help us to get to this point right here, the Almighty said that he was not going to make an end to us. And that's why they were there. You understand? That's the reason. No other reason. You understand? Because, see, the thing is that once we come to the understanding that the Almighty got to get his glory from the whole earth, and what more, and how else could he do that than to bring those people all the way down to nothing and then bring them back up as the light unto the nations. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And that's what we're saying, is that politically, like you say, he's always used man to do it. He's always used man to help him to get it done, or not to help him get it done, but to take instructions from him as to how to do it. And that is what we're trying to say in terms of our lineage and our heritage, because we're going to stand up and say, hey, we're the children of the book, like it, love it, lump it. And we're going to be standing in the middle of a society that you, not only do you have the Jews saying that they're us, but you got white people also saying that they're Jewish, that they're the 12 tribes of Israel. So all I'm saying is to validate that we're all going to use the same book. Now, the problem is this. When it comes to the Caucasians saying that they're Jewish, you can't be both. Now, you can't be the slave and the slave master. You're going to have to choose which one you're going to be. Now, you can't take on everything because it's like they just have erased us. But at the end of the day, the Most High is going to be the one to validate what we're doing, because they're going to know that he's with us by the things that we do. Here's where the issue comes in at. This is where the issue comes in at, is that we need to let them know, if you can use the book to validate who you are, and we're talking about politically, we're going to use that same book to validate who we are. Because the scripture, you quoted this scripture last week, Brother Adonia, where you said you read the scripture that says that the host country where we are has to admit that we are the children of Israel.
That is correct. That is correct.
So in order for them to do that, something political has to be done for them to come to that conclusion.
You know how they're going to recognize that we are the people is that we start moving as a nation to support one another, to support us. You understand? Now, like I said, there is no magic bullet. It's not going to happen overnight. You understand? And it can, if we just trust in the Almighty. You understand? We have to. That is our duty, to trust in the Almighty and do His commandments. You understand? That's what that our duty. That's what we are set up aside. You know what makes us different is that because we are the people of the Creator, and it was set up for them to tear us down. You understand? So in order for us to come up, we're going to have to start moving in the direction of building a nation. You understand? We can't sit back and say that we can't. We'll get frustrated. Keep trying to tell, saying that them people are saying that they are us and we are. You know what's going to make the difference is who the Almighty is with when the whole thing comes down. You understand? When the whole thing comes down, is that we the Almighty will be blessing our hand and showing other nations that we are the people that the Almighty must be with these people. That's what it reads in the scripture. Hallelujah.
That's true. I got somebody that pushed one. Let me get them on real quick. Okay, 951, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Shalom, shalom, family.
Shalom, shalom.
This is Isabel. Awesome show. Awesome show. I love that you that my family is keeping it 100. 100. Nice and raw. And I just wanted to say that you can outgive Yah.
Yes.
You cannot
mm-hmm.
outgive Yah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We all have given in monies. We all have given in labor.
Yes. Yes.
And all of it, family, know this one thing. If you know anything, the Father is orchestrating and he sees it all. He sees the seen
yes.
and he sees the unseen.
Yes, hallelujah.
And you cannot outgive the Father.
Hallelujah.
But there is a separating going on. There's a separating going on. And like Brother Adonia said, there will only be a remnant. And
mm-hmm.
when it's And that's exactly what's going on right now.
Yes.
People don't even have a clue of who they are. They don't even have a clue of who they are. Because if they had a clue, they wouldn't be acting so ignorant.
Right.
Right. We will know them by their fruit.
Fruit. That's right.
Speak the truth. Truth.
And all we have to do is being his chosen children is ask for more discernment because even the elite will be deceived.
Yes, ma'am. Tumshi.
And I'm done. I relinquish the mic.
Stop it, Lizzie.
Anybody that wants to comment, please push 1. We've been doing a lot of talking. We got quite a few callers on the line, and everybody's just listening, and it's a good thing. And we're glad that you're listening. And after the show, go back and go into blogtalkradio.com and type in the Yehuda Project and listen again. You know, because we need as many people as we can to get this message out, because our job is, we're the messengers, we're getting the message out.
Yeah.
And whatever message that it is that he has and the topic that he has for us today, we're just feeding your information. We're giving you, and don't take our word for it. Believe me, that's what I want to tell everybody. We are not like the pastors. We don't just preach absolute. Don't take
right.
my word for it. Research it and go look it up for yourself.
That's right. I used to hear somebody used to tell me all. Someone used to tell me all the time. They used to say, "Kavah, don't trust my research. All the research you should trust is your own. So
mm-hmm.
trust your own research. The same information that was out there for me to research is out there for you to research.
That's right.
So we're admonishing you. We're encouraging you." To go and get the information for yourself. Because when you know something for yourself, you know it. And no one can take that. No one can change that when you have knowledge. So search it out for yourself and see what we're saying. And a lot of you can identify with some of the things we have said, a lot of things we have said, especially when it comes to the arena of the church, because the church is one of the biggest institutions
powerful.
On the face of the planet. Very, very
right.
powerful institution. And I want to bring this to you. I want you all just to think about this. You, within the Catholic Church, you have these priests and you have these nuns that give these vows of poverty. They'll vow a vow of poverty you know, relinquish their rights or whatever to any worldly goods or material things that, that they can have and own, however that works. But have you ever noticed that the priests and the nuns will give a vow of poverty, but yet the Catholic Church is the richest institution on the face of
yes,
the earth?
Mm-hmm. That's the Romans. That's the Romans. Yes, ma'am.
Exactly. Have you ever, ever thought about that?
Mm.
What an oxymoron. The richest institution on the face of the earth, but the priests and the nuns give a vow of poverty. That don't make no sense. Have you ever really sat down and really thought about that? Now I'm gonna give another. I'm gonna throw something else out there for you to think about. A lot of you people that a lot of the people that come from mega churches, because I once was a part of a mega church, and some of these mega churches, not even just the mega churches, you have some of the smaller churches. Because when I grew up, I came up as a little girl. We came up as a Baptist, and then from there we went to Apostolic. Pentecostal. So, and then from there I went into Word of Faith or whatever, non-denominational and stuff like that. But one thing I noticed with dealing with some of the apostolic Pentecostal and even some of the mega churches is how the pastors, now I'm going to get on the pastors and I'm going to get on the pastors' wives, because I once was a pastor's wife, and my ex-husband once was a pastor. And I remember when we would be in the congregation of some of these churches, how the pastors would use the people and the members as their own personal servants.
Mm-hmm.
Had the nerve and the audacity to call them, "This is my servant." Real talk. Had some of the people that were on their staff that was working like a dog had to have their phone on 24/7, had to be on call 24/7, serving the pastor and the pastor's wife, but yet and still their husbands and wives and their marriages are being strained because the wife is working at the church like a dog. Serving the pastor, and she's not even at home, can't even wash her own. Her whole husband can't get his drawers washed. But she serving the pastor. I'm keeping it real. While Apollo called, her husband need his clothes washed, his drawers washed, and you serving the pastor. You on call 24/7. That's out of order.
Yes, it is.
Out of order. Pastors, wives, having the women coming to their home, feeding their children, cooking for their kids, cleaning their food. Now, mind you, these people are not getting paid to do this. I'm keeping it real with you. Really real with you right now. I'm telling you what I've seen. Having them coming to their homes, scrubbing their floors, cooking the food for them and running the children under the name of the Lord and God, and I'm going to be blessed because I'm supposed to serve the man and the woman of God, and your family is at home suffering. You're out of order. Your ministry first to all the women, to every woman on this line. I don't care if you get mad at me. You may never call back. That's all right. But your ministry first is to your husband and to your children. Your ministry is to your home first. This is out of order. And the Most High is not pleased with it, period.
Yep.
Well. It's all out of order. There's no balance.
And,
And Kavai, you know what? You know how we talked about 30% fragmented history? They'll go into the mm-hmm. Old Testament and they'll pull out the armor bearer scriptures. And then
yes.
they'll take the armor bearer scriptures and then they will add that scripture to their protocol and their paradigm of order. And then they'll say,
yes.
well, you're supposed to be my armor bearer. And you know, when you understand, when they give fragmented history like that, that is not, it's a lie. It's a lie. All of it is a lie, and they take bits and pieces. So that's what we're telling the people today.
Yes,
you know.
And if they even looked that up, what an armor bearer was, first of all, an armor bearer was somebody that bared the armor of the king in battle.
Yeah.
It dealt with the army. It dealt with actual armor that he put on. That's not just a word to use, just to throw it out there and just say, I'm an armor bearer. You know, it's crazy what has been done. It's crazy. Like you said, you're taking fragments of history. You're taking scripts and you're applying it. Oh, you're going to be my armor bearer. You're switching words around, using a word over here. I mean, that stuff is crazy. And then you have this big old circus, because it's a circus.
Yeah.
It is a circus.
Yes, it is.
It's a circus. When you have families torn apart, I've seen marriages destroyed. I've seen things, I've seen families split up, all because of I'm serving my pastor. I'm serving my pastor. They really believe in their heart that they're doing it for the Most High. They believe they're doing it, that the Creator's going to be pleased with them for serving this man and this woman like this.
That's
but
right.
But I remember I had, huh?
I said, you're right. You're telling the truth.
I remember I had an opportunity. I had an opportunity to sit down and to, well, I had a couple opportunities. I just got to tell y'all. I'm going to tell on myself. Tell the truth about yourself. That's true deliverance. So I'm going to tell the truth about myself. I had an opportunity to actually sit down. I was asked, Sister So-and-so, I want you to write something about what you see that's wrong with the ministry. This is when we were in church. And, you know, I wish I was never asked that, because I think it just turned everything upside down, to be honest with you.
Did it get you put out?
What I tell you, Yaina, I turned some stuff upside down. That it was to the point where I was called in for a church meeting. We need to talk to you. I'm like, oh, well, here it goes. We need to talk to you. I'm getting pulled into a church meeting about, because I was asked to write what I saw that was wrong with the ministry. And I did. And the first thing I said, I told the pastor that you don't have a heart for people.
Wow.
And you don't have a heart for the people. And there's no transparency in this ministry. Well, Sister So-and-so, what do you mean by that? I don't understand. I said, okay, here's what I'm saying to you. You've taken all of this money, all of these tithes, all of these offerings, but you never give a report to the people of what you've done with their money.
Mm-hmm.
There's no transparency. I said, I can go on the website to the state of so-and-so, so at this time it was Ohio, to the state of Ohio, and I can look at the money that the state had and where the money was dispersed.
That's right.
That's the state of Ohio site. I said, but you're supposed to be leading people to God, and you people are giving their hard-earned money, and there is no transparency. We don't know what's going on with the money. So then there was this fundraiser that they were supposed to have for the youth And I worked with a lot of the young people. Me and my ex-husband did. I love children. So I worked with a lot of the young people in the ministry of the children. So one day they did this thing called, oh, my gosh, I forget the name. It was a crazy name where everybody had to bring $1,000. Independence Day. It was Independence Day. Well, everybody going to give money Independence Sunday, right? Everybody, every family had to give $1,000. It was presented as we're raising this money for the youth ministry because there's things that the young people need, and we're going to get this to the young people. We need this in our ministry for the young people. So when this money is going to be given, then we're going to do these X, Y, Z, what needs to be done. Because this is stuff that we presented and said, look, this needs to be taken care of. The young people need this, 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 that, and the other. And they're not getting it. Okay, sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, this one, that one, we're going to make sure we get it done. We're going to get this money raised. So we have this big old Sunday where it's called Independence Sunday where everybody's going to sow, each family's going to sow $1,000 to raise money for the youth. Now, this is what is said over the pulpit. This is what is presented to the people. But that's not what happened. So that was one of the issues I had when they asked me, well, tell us what you see is wrong. I said, well, first of all, you did a bait and switch on the people.
Mm.
You baited them and you said that we were going to raise money for this, that, and the other, but then you turned around and used the money for something else. So that was a lie. What you mean? I said, let me show you what I mean. You said we were going to raise the money for the children, and then the next minute you turned around and you put up the top three things that we're going to use this money for that we just raised. First of all, we're going to sow a huge seed into Dr. So-and-so-and-so's ministry. I said, why are we giving money to him? I actually asked him that. Why are we giving money to him? I said, do you know that's against the law? To raise money for one thing and then use it for something else? That's against the law.
That is correct.
But most people don't catch that. They don't even understand that. You cannot raise money for one thing and turn around and use it for something else. That's against the law. That's still
illegal. But guess what? If you're not in the top, and you're not at the top, you don't really know what's going on. And the same thing for the Israelites. When we put things together, like what we're trying to do with the State of the Nation Address, and we need you to be able to participate in this in order for us to come together. And the State of the Nation Address is not for anybody to file sovereignty. That's not the main mission of the State of the Nation Address. It's everything going on in our nation, everything that Brother Adoniah suggested that we do, other people have suggested programs that we do. We need everybody to come together and to register. And let me give the website. It's www.2013annualstateofthenationaddress.com. If you have any questions or concerns, please email us at nationofyehudah@yahoo.com. But a lot of people, Kavai, don't know what's going on at the top, and that's where the deceitfulness comes in at, and that's where the Most High is going to get them at.
Exactly. But see, here's the thing. I didn't have access to the monies and see what they were doing with the monies. I just was sitting back watching and listening. I mean, you can get a lot of information playing dumb, for real.
Yes, you can.
I mean, and just sitting there and using your brain, just thinking, just looking and watching and paying attention, like, I can't believe they just did this. Didn't they just say they was raising money for this? And then they turned around and said, we're giving this money is going to be used for these top three things. And the kids were nowhere in the equation. They should have been the first ones at the top. Just by what you call it, deductive reasoning. Sitting there just looking, you know, and thinking about things and seeing, like, okay, this is crazy what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But when you don't challenge them, because, see, a lot of times the pastors think that they are not accountable to anyone. And that's where the people don't understand. The power lies with the people. They should be accountable
right.
to you. But most people don't understand. And I would tell them, I said, do you even understand that the power lies with you? There needs to be an accountability to the people about what is being done. You're supposed to hold him accountable.
That is correct.
But people are scared because they've been given this false image of he's on a higher pedestal, he's this, this, that, and the other. You know, that in itself is false. You know, you have created an idol. You have put him before the creator. You have made this man your God. That was another thing I had a problem with. I told him that, too.
Right.
I guess they said, this one to talk too much. No, don't ask me what I think if you really don't want to know.
That's right.
So, you know, if we're going to make things right, and my heart was to serve the Most High. I didn't know I was in there and doing the wrong thing as far as following Lucifer and following Hashatan. I didn't know that. But all I knew was the whole time I always had a heart for my people. I always wanted to do right. I always wanted to make sure I was serving the Most High right as much as I thought I was doing. And I didn't want to hurt anybody. I didn't care who they were. I didn't have a heart to hurt nobody or to wrong them. And I took my walk with who I thought was God very seriously. I'm not going to get in trouble with the Most High because of you. That was even then. I'm not going to get in trouble because of you. I'm going to tell you the truth. At the expense of me losing my relationship with you, I'm going to tell you the truth.
Let me ask a question here. What does it mean to gain the world and lose favor of the Almighty?
Right. That's the question. That's the question of the day.
And unfortunately, you know, people have been so brainwashed into thinking that if I give this, the Lord's going to give me back. If I put this much money into it, he's going to see how wonderful I am and how dedicated I am to do what the words say, and I'm going to get a return on my money. And if I give my time, my talent, and my treasure, everything else is going to fall in place. Well, guess what? I got a news flash for you, especially to the descendants of the transatlantic slave trade. All of it is yours anyway.
Yes. Yes.
It's all yours anyway. That is, like you said, that's the big bait and switch, because when we got off the boat, we came into a church that was the first thing we seen. We seen a Caucasian Jesus.
Yes, we did.
And guess what we did? We loved him when we thought he was a Caucasian, didn't we?
Yep, sure did.
We did. We loved him. But guess what? When we realized that all of this is catered around the Israelites, and when I say that, I mean that we are to teach the other nations, but you got to get it from us.
Right. We had sojourners and strangers with us, among us. There were strangers
among
us.
You got to get it from us. And when you really realize that you already are the apple of his eye, he already loves you. He already has your name tattooed in his thigh. He already knows the promise that he made to Abraham. You're already Already.
And then they
sing you this grand song like, all you got to do is do this, and then you'll get this. You already got it.
That's right. We're looking and searching for something that never was lost. It's already in us. It's in us. It's in our DNA. That's why they do everything to corrupt your DNA. You know, they feed you this corruptible food, because most people don't even understand that as you take in certain foods, that's why they give you the pork and stuff. It actually, your DNA actually changes to what you are consuming.
That's true. Positive blood. That's absolutely true. The life is in the blood. That is absolutely true.
Whew. Speak
you
the truth.
So all we're saying is the con game is over. You can't run the con game on us no more. Well, you know, because when I was in there, you know, coming out for the streets, I was looking at it like, man, y'all got the best. Y'all selling more con than the crack addict is selling crack to the people. These people is eating this stuff up with their mouth hanging open, waiting for the next fix. And then you leave Sunday and you can't wait till the next Sunday because you got to come back and get the next fix. And it's like, you don't understand what the Most High showed me was, it's already yours.
Yes.
It's in your bloodline. It's your inheritance. They're the ones that's got to work for it. It's already yours. All you got to do is turn from your wicked ways, and I'll be there to save the day. But that's all we're trying to tell you. It already belongs to us. And I want to read a scripture for you real quick to back that up, because we know we got to go scripture to back it up. Romans chapter 9. If you go to Romans chapter 9, and we for the New Testament people, because we know we got some non-Messianics on here too. But Romans chapter 9, Paul talks about it. He said the adoption is ours. We can go to verse number 4. He said, who are Israelites? To whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenant, the giving of the law, and the service of God and the promises. All of that is yours anyway. It's already ours. It's been given to us. The promise was given to Abraham. The covenant was made with Abraham, with Isaac, his seed.
That is correct.
Jacob was the chosen seed. So all of it is ours anyway. They just made you believe that you had to work for it. They made it switch you to make you believe that you had to work for it. But at the end of the day, he's our God.
That is correct.
And all we're saying to you is come together. Let's come together. Let's come together. Let's pray together. Let's reason together. Let's cry out. Let's call his name. Because you know what? They even fix it now when they got words in there called God and Lord. He has a name. And when Moshe met him at the bush, he asked him, he said, what is your name?
That's right.
He has a name.
That is correct.
You don't have to call him God. He has a name. We call him by his name, which is YHWH. We call him Yahuwah. That's his name.
That is correct.
Because when you say, oh, God, we love you, that can be anybody you're talking to. We don't know who you're talking to.
That's right.
You can't call David John.
Hello?
You can't call David John. He ain't going to answer.
And please don't call me Sally, because I ain't going to answer to that.
So that's what we're always saying is, for the systems that be, and for all of the systems in America, we know we're on foreign soil. We know we were brought here by slaves. Our ancestors were slaves and brought here by force. We know that our ancestors built this country, and we've helped through the working and our labor and all of the work that we've done through the paying of the taxes and the building up of America, that we've helped to keep corporate America alive. But we're coming to the end of an empire. And as we come to the end of an empire, which the scripture says that the only kingdom that's going to last forever is ours, as we come to the end of an empire and we see economically that the country is folding, economically that it can't continue to sustain us, that we have to come together as a people and begin to go back to our theocratic government and be able to call on our Elohim to be able to tell us what to do so we can make it, so we can continue to finish out his work. That's all we're saying, that we're not trying to take America. We're not trying to go against the government. We're not trying to take Jerusalem. We're not trying to do any of that. You can have all of that, because at the end of the day, he will clean Jerusalem out, and at the end of the day, America will fold. That's in the scriptures, and it has nothing to do with us.
That is correct.
Has nothing to do with us, but we still got to come together as a people, and we're crying out and sparing not, to let you know that the bait and switch game in all of the systems, whether it be financial, whether it be educational, whether it be commercial, whether it be television, whether it be music, whether it be fashion, whether it be food, whether it be whatever, all of it is set up and designed to go against God's word. And I relinquish the mic.
Everybody relinquishing the mic.
Yeah, I relinquish the mic. Brother Donia, you know that's going to stick with us from now on. And I relinquish the mic.
Yeah, I was just trying to be funny.
It's a beautiful thing, though, because guess what? He said, I'm going to wake a nation up in a day. He said a nation is going to be born in a day.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. 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 That is powerful right there.
And
oh,
in
that's
that,
powerful.
And in that day that
yeah.
we will, if we diligently follow the scriptures and the commandments that Moses had spoke at Mount Sinai. You understand?
Yes.
We supposed to trust in the Almighty and keep His commandments. All of those
yes.
statutes, ordinances. See, we can't do that. You understand? If we're going to be on the fence. Or skeptical.
That's right.
Not going to happen. What's going to happen is that we have to be in doing what the Almighty has set aside for us to do.
That's right.
To represent Him. To represent Him is those what we. That's what we have to do. And
yes,
with
right.
that. I'm gonna have to get off the phone here because my phone is batteries is going dead. But I want to tell y'all that keep up the good work, and I love you all. You understand? And there's nothing that you can do about it.
That's right.
We love you, Brother Donia.
Yes, yes. And we love you too. We love you too. And also, if you want to know that where that scripture is Isaiah 56:8. It says, "Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travails, she brought forth her children." He said, I'm going to bring a nation. I'm going to birth a nation in a day.
Okay.
We're not going to be consumed. We're not going to be consumed in this society. We're not going to go out dying as African Americans. He is going to raise us up as the children of Israel.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All praises, all praises, all praises, all praises. Hallelujah. Deliverance is nigh. Our deliverance is nigh. And there's nothing the powers that be can do to stop it.
That is correct.
You know, you can't stop, like my sister Isabel says, you can't stop a freight train that's moving.
That is correct.
You know, so the energy of the Almighty is going through the earth, and the gathering and all that He's doing is His doing, and it will not be stopped. I can't stop it. Yaina, you can't stop it. Brother Donia, you can't stop it. And the powers that be definitely can't stop it. They already know that the end of their domain, the end of their dominion is at an end. So, and it's like everything has been sped up. I've been saying this, that in this dimension that we are in, everything is like in hyperspeed. I mean, hyperspeed, literally. You can just think about something, and all of a sudden you turn around, doggone it, I just thought about that. Or you can speak about something. All of a sudden, man, here it is. We are in a dimension that everything has been sped up. Even the oppressors, they're even speeding things up because they know. So they're trying to speed up because they know everything has been sped up. Speed up their what they call their trying to protect themselves and do whatever because they know that the judgment to come in the earth is coming, and they know they can't stop it. They know they can't stop it. And all we're trying to do, and all we are doing, is we're being an instrument, a tool to help wake up the people.
Servant of the Most High.
Yes. And like I've told Yaina, we oftentimes talk about how serious this is what we're doing. And we know this is serious. We know this is life-threatening things. We know it.
Yes, it is.
But there comes a point in time in somebody in your life that you have to say that, you know what? What I'm doing, I have to be willing to die for it.
Mm-hmm.
When you take the fear of death out of the equation, there's nothing that your enemy could possibly do to you because the fear is gone.
That's right.
I just may die for what I'm doing. I just may die for it. But I will be rather willing to die doing the will of Almighty Yah and making sure that I am used in this plan to get this job done, the ushering in of this kingdom and the rebirthing of a nation.
Yes.
And to sit back and die over some foolishness in the street. So it's so important that we understand that this is serious. This is death or life seriousness. And once you start out on this, ain't no looking back. Ain't no turning back.
That's true.
Ain't no turning back. You're not even fit. If you put your hand to the plow and you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom.
That's right.
You're a traitor. You'll leave.
Breathe. That's right. And again, we'd like to say, go ahead, Kavah, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. You're just not fit. You won't even be in a position to rule nothing because you're not fit. You'll quit.
Yep. Go ahead, Yaina.
True.
I was just going to say, and again, I want you to know, the composition of the church. Remember this for all of you Christians that are listening. Remember that we told you it's 30% emotion, 30% motivational speaking, 30% fragmented biblical history, 9% showmanship, and 1% watered down truth. Remember that. And when you go to church, watch and listen. Watch and listen to what we say. Watch and listen. So we love you. We love you. We love you. We just want to let you know that we love you. Our job is to do what we're called to do and to sound the alarm and to get Israel ready for the change that's going to take place. Because like you said, it's going to happen real fast. The information is going to be out there. And I told someone once when we were in Sabbath class, they were saying, but it's only going to be a few, and who's to say the church people are going to make it? And I said, the love of Yahuwah is not going to give those people over to damnation. He's going to give them a chance to make a choice. And right now the choice that they've made has been off of limited information. So what he's doing now is he's allowing for the truth to hit the hit the land. And you're going to be faced with having to make a choice. The line has been drawn in the sand. And you're going to have to go into that word for yourself, and you're going to have to read that word for yourself, and you're going to have to rely on the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKodesh, to lead and guide you into all truth, and then you're going to be able to have to make a decision. So all we're doing is allowing you, don't believe what we say, research, 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 but I guarantee you, when you begin to research, you'll find that we are the children, the Hebrew Israelites, the descendants of the 12 tribes of Jacob. We are the people of the book. And when you finish with your research, you'll understand that we're the ones that the atrocity has been done to, but that the Most High is coming back for us because he said we're the apple of his eye.
Hallelujah.
And that he loves us. So, you know, all I'm saying to you is remember what we said to you today. We're not bashing the church because what I would like to do, and I don't know if you guys are up for it, but I'd like to invite some of my pastor friends to come on the show next week. You guys think that would be a good topic? Because, and I mean, you know, we would have to do whatever we do in love, you know, and a lot of them steer clear because they know they cannot stand a leg against us. We have begged and we have asked them to come. We have begged to sit down with them, and they will not. They will not sit down with us because they know what they're teaching is not true.
They seal their own fate.
They do. They know. You know, but again, like I said, we will attempt to try to do this next week and to invite some of my pastor friends, and maybe Kavah can invite some of her pastor friends and some of her people to actually come on the show and actually talk about the state of the people. Because if church was the answer, then some things would have been changing by now, and we would be in a better condition. But church is not the answer, and we have the answer. We have the answer, and all we're saying is let's sit down and reason together. So I don't really have a whole lot else to talk about. Kavah, you have anything you want to say?
I don't. I just want people to understand. You know, we say church, but religion is not the answer.
That's
period.
Right.
So religion is not the answer, and that's what people don't understand. Religion is not the answer. It was not. We weren't given religion. Religion was given by man to control masses of people. Religion
right.
is a control tool, and it's political at the root of it. Most people don't even understand that. It's all rooted in politics, if you want to keep it real.
That's right.
And they control the people with religion. That's what they do. So, you know, all my heart is to just cause you to think, cause you to ask questions. Don't think it's a sin to question your pastor, because we was taught that too. Oh, you can't ask the pastor no questions. You can't question the pastor. Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm just being honest. And you think, oh, man, it's the devil. You thinking bad about your pastor. You thinking wrong because you questioning him. You think it's the devil? No. How come it couldn't be the Almighty sending his light to shine in that dark spot of your mind?
Right.
And a lot of times when the light comes, the darkness will try to push up against it and push the light away. And you think it's darkness, but it's really light. I just want you to think and to begin to search within yourself and ask questions. When you begin to go within yourself and talk to the Most High from within, you're going to get some answers. So just hear our heart. It's coming from a place of love, and it's coming from a place of compassion and mercy and an appeal to pull you out of the matrix. There's many layers to the matrix, and religion is one of the layers. So that's what we're trying to do, and know that we love you. Know that we love you. That's all I got to say.
All right, all right. Donia, you have any last words before we say shalom?
No, Toda Rabba for having me speak today, and I appreciate everything that you're doing and everything. I agree with everything that you said.
All right, keep up
the good work, and I love you guys, and keep up the good work.
All right, guess what? We're going to go back to our song, and we'd like to tell you we love you. We're here for
Thank you, brethren.
If you have any questions or concerns, if you need anything from us, please email us at Nation of Yehuda, Y-E-H-U-D-A-H, at yahoo.com. And we'll be looking forward to hearing from you. And on that note, we say shalom, shalom, everybody. We love you. Shalom.
Love you, shalom. We love you.
Think about you, baby.
are you still there?
I am here, and thank you, thank you, thank you to all the listeners. Thank you, brethren. Thank you, sisterin. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Much respect to all of the brethren and the sisterin. And hallelujah, thank you again.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, and we love you, and we love you, and we love you, and we'll guess what we'll do? We'll see you next week. Shalom, shalom, everybody. Bye.
Shalom.